Do not confuse this with treatment or mental health advice or direction. Nothing on this podcast is made to supplement or supersede the relationship and direction of your mental health caretakers. Although David Koslowski is a licensed marriage and family therapist, he is not functioning as a certified mental health professional in this environment. And same applies to any professional who may appear on the OG Therapy Podcast. Welcome to the OG Therapy.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of OG Therapy. And today's episode is specifically for you dads and sons out there. Yes, I'm doing an episode that I've done. This is probably like my third episode I've done on this topic in the past 7 years. But after last week's episode, I got a message and I had a conversation with someone that made me think I need to talk about fathers and older sons. And on top of it, I did my midterm as a teacher at Harriman High School. And for those of you who've been listening to podcasts for a long time, you'll know that when I do my midterm, I do, instead of a written midterm, I do a social midterm where everybody in the class has to go around and share something in their life that they wish they could change. Something kind of lighter, something more silly that they wish they could change about their exterior, maybe their height, their hair color. Some kids wish their hair was shorter, longer, straighter, curlier. Some of the kids wish they were a little bit taller, wish they were a baller, wish they had a girl who looked good so they could call her. You get what I'm saying. The point is, the conversations that happened today in two different classes, there's probably about a dozen kids, dozen young men, that happen to be the oldest child in their family. And they just happen to share that one of the biggest things that they wish they could change is they wish they had a better relationship with their father. Now, for those people who haven't gone back and listened to the parent-oldest-child relationship, I'm going to give you a quick little brief update, reminder, or for those... Okay. I'm going to be telling you if you haven't heard this before for the first time, but I want you to go back and listen to the other podcasts because those podcasts about the oldest-child relationship, my producer Brandon will get those episodes right now. So before the end of the podcast, I can tell you which ones to go listen to because I'm not going to go really that deep in the actual relationship, just a little review. Because I want to get to four simple things you as fathers can do to have a better relationship with your oldest son. Now, the interesting thing is all four of these things are going to be great things for all your children, but the father-oldest-son relationship is even extra mucho importante, and it's a very unique relationship. So let me start off with saying about, you know, the numbers are? Okay, so OG Therapy 17 and 18. Now go find the Light the Fight podcast episode. Number 16, Light the Fight podcast. I think there's one more, so if you can find, but so 16 on Light the Fight, 17 and 18 on OG Therapy. So those are the numbers to go look at. But let's get started with a couple basic things. Every time I talk about the podcast, every time I talk on the podcast about the father, oldest son relationship, number 61 of Light the Fight as well. Every time I talk about the father-oldest-son relationship or the mother-oldest-daughter relationship on the podcast, I always start off by telling you guys that this relationship has been around since the beginning of time, meaning we've known that this was a very unique and very different relationship to the family system, meaning the oldest son is kind of like half player, half coach. He has the responsibility of a parent, especially if there's younger siblings, to help out. The dad puts a lot of pressure on him to be like the wingman, the next man in charge, because if something happens to the dad, you know, hopefully nothing does, but if something ever happens to their father, the oldest son is going to be in a lot of ways in charge of a lot of things. Now, it may not be in charge of the whole family, but in charge of a lot of things since the dad's not going to be around anymore. Now, this could happen from divorce. Maybe dad bounces and leaves and no longer wants to be with the family. Unfortunately, that happens all too often as well. Regardless what the situation is, oldest sons have this added pressure. Even if their father and them live in the same house, even if they and their father seem to have a normal relationship on the outside, there's a very uniqueness to the relationship, and I call this a symbiotic relationship. Basically, what this means is the father and oldest son, they share energy. So if the dad is struggling with something in his own personal life, and it could be something the son has no idea that his dad is struggling with. Everyone else in the family may just think that dad's in a bad mood. Maybe he's been grumpy the recent weeks. Mom may be even frustrated with what's going on. But only the oldest son will feel the anxiety, anger, frustration as if it's happening to him, as if it's his own experience. The difference is the oldest son is not going to usually know why the dad is feeling these things, or even if the son knows what's causing the dad's stress, he's not old enough to really relate to how that stress is affecting the dad. He just knows how it feels. So the oldest son in the symbiotic relationship has a vested interest in trying to help his dad. Now, if the dad is not willing to let the son help him, then the dad's going to kind of push back a little bit. How this usually happens with fathers and oldest sons, the oldest son has been around the dad for a while. He feels what the dad's feeling. He knows what the dad is going through. He knows what the dad's hopes and dreams are. So the oldest son may try to take that role of like, I'm going to be the perfect son. I'm going to be the hero of my family, because what better way to be a hero than if you make the dad look really good? If you make the family look really good, if the dad's stressed out and struggling, worrying, if you help the dad out, he'll be so grateful. He'll be so thankful. He'll be so appreciative. Well, those oldest sons in families, because not every oldest son is going to react the same way, but those oldest sons that take on that, like, I need to be the hero role, I need to do a lot to help my family, to help my father, those oldest sons experience a lot of stress and anxiety trying to maintain that role. What helps that role is if they have a close relationship and connection with their father. That way the dad can explain what the son is feeling. The dad can actually take criticism from the son, can take input from the son. But if the dad and the oldest son do not have a close relationship, the son's going to see things that the dad needs to improve upon, needs to work on, and he's going to make comments about it. He's going to, hey, dad, I've been noticing that when you don't eat healthy, you don't exercise, you're grumpy and you're in a bad mood. Well, if he doesn't have a good relationship with his dad could take offense to that, could get pissed off, and he could say something smart aleck like, well, I notice when you wake up late for school and you get to school late, you get bad grades. What about that? See, when sons bring up this criticism, when sons bring up their dad's flaws or maybe something their dad should work on, they're really not bringing it up to criticize the dad, to make him look bad. They're bringing it up because they have a vested interest in their dad feeling better and their dad doing better. There's less work for them to do as a son. They can believe in themselves a lot more. They can have greater strength and self-confidence if their dad is already exhibiting those things. Or if their dad's struggling, and if the dad talks to their kid and explains the struggle, and of course, a lot of dads don't want to talk about their struggles. A lot of dads don't want to explain things to their kids. A lot of dads want to just keep those things to themselves. And I get it. It's hard to want to open up and talk to your kids. And a lot of times people hear, and it's not wrong, but a lot of times adults hear that, like, you shouldn't be friends with your kids. You shouldn't tell your kids too much personal stuff. Well, depending upon your kid's age, if they're old enough to be able to be concerned and worried about you, they should be old enough for you to give them a little insight, a little understanding about what it's like to be you. They're really in like doing a long research experiment, trying to figure out who they are. And the best bet for them to figure out a lot about who they are, or even sometimes who they're not, is through their relationship with their dad or watching their dad's behavior. Now, again, go listen to the other episodes, because I get in a lot deeper those episodes. I talk about how Disney has made billions of dollars off the father-oldest son relationship and the mother-oldest daughter relationship. But again, go listen to those episodes, because I talk more about it in depth there. So what I want to talk about today is, for all you mothers out there listening to this, if you're listening to this going, oh my gosh, like, my husband and my oldest son, they are at odds with each other. They do struggle to have a close relationship. Or maybe the dad thinks they have a close relationship, but the son's really stressed out. Please send this to your husband's wives. Send this to your brothers if they got oldest sons. You know, if you're a guy listening to this and you hear this and you go, man, this reminds me so much of my friend and his oldest son, send it to them. So back to what I was saying. One role that the oldest son will try to play is the hero role. As I just mentioned, they're trying to jump in. They're trying to be like a parent. They're trying to help out. They're even trying to help their dad, even to the point where they may criticize their dad and may expose some of their dad's weaknesses to the world, not to hurt their dad, but to simply help their family evolve and help their dad be happier and healthier. The other role that oldest sons can play is the black sheep role. When I learned about this role in the family system in graduate school, I remember my professor said, the oldest child of the family, or he didn't say the oldest child. That's actually a misconception. This is not necessarily the oldest child. It's the oldest child relationship with their same-sex parent. So the oldest daughter's relationship with her mom, oldest son's relationship with his dad. So the other role So in psychology, they said every person in the family plays an individual role, but only the oldest firstborn daughter, oldest firstborn son, they're the only one that plays two roles. And that role is either the hero or the black sheep. How can the oldest son be the hero if he's the black sheep? It doesn't make any sense. Turns out it makes a lot of sense, because the hero in real life is someone who's willing to sacrifice themselves for the rest of their family. That's right. As a therapist, throughout all the years of counseling, I've been in private practice for a long time. The majority of the kids that I see that are males, when I say majority, sometimes 8 out of 10 boys, or sometimes even 9 out of 10 boys, are the oldest son of their family. Same thing goes with girls. 8, sometimes 9 out of 10 young women that I work with are the oldest daughter of their family. This is not by accident. There's a lot of knowledge and information about this, but I want to focus on what you can do about this. So how is the oldest son able to be the black sheep at the same time? Because like I said before, sometimes being the hero means that you got to take one for the team. Sometimes you got to throw yourself underneath the bus. Sometimes the kids that were coming into me, when I say sometimes, wink, wink, I'm rarely saying all the time. When the kids would come into me, the oldest sons, in fact, this was a very common thing. The oldest son would come into me because the parents were like, hey, we caught him looking at pornography. My son finally confessed. We've been noticing that he's looked at pornography in different devices. He's sneaking around. It's not always that the dad has a pornography addiction. That's very common. If the son has that issue, the dad will have the same issue. But what's more common is that pornography addiction, pornography issues, the root of them, where they really come from, is their intimacy issues. Difficulty having close, intimate relationships with other people. And when they don't know how to fortify, build, maintain, improve close, intimate relationships with other people, then they turn to something that's going to make you feel like you have a connection, but you don't have to do any work at all. And that's drugs, alcohol, but that's also pornography. Pornography is sex, obviously. It's related to sex. And so when we're having sex with an intimate partner, a loved one, you know, like a wife or a girlfriend or something like that, you're in a relationship with them. Like, there's a connection there. It's not purely just carnal and physical. It's not just a hookup. Well, when you're looking at pornography all the time, you start to realize that, yeah, it makes you feel the end result of the connection, which is the sexual part, but there's no actual connection. There's no, you can't say, wow, I'm in this great relationship with someone. You can't be like, man, like feeling safe and secure after you have sex with them. No, when you're looking at pornography, not only is it not real sex, it's a supernatural version of sex. And if you want to learn more about that, you can go to, we did a podcast about the documentary. Pull up the documentary about, yep, exactly. So there's a pornography documentary. It was done by a good friend of mine by the Fight the New Drug Foundation. And so we'll bring that up in a moment. But my point is, pornography addiction is an intimacy issue at the core. When you start to replace your inability to have close, intimate relationships with quick sexual experiences that aren't real sexual experiences, you're left feeling empty. You're left without a real connection. And you're usually left with a lot of embarrassment and shame. The way I describe this to people that don't understand how it affects a young man, I tell them, hey, when a young man scores a touchdown, hits a game-winning shot, or even if they level up in a video game when all their friends are watching and playing, those are things that they get to share that excitement. They get to share that high with other people. That's real genuine connection. And other people get to see it, hear it. Maybe they see the reel on social media. But when it comes to this type of a high, you don't get to brag about it. You don't get to share about it. I've never met a teenager or even an adult male that was like, oh my gosh, I can't wait to go home and tell my mom or my girlfriend or my wife about this amazing porn movie I just watched. It's so amazing. I've yet to hear that. Okay, that's not a common thing, because it's not a real connection. And if it's not a real connection, it's not a real win. If it's not a real win, you shouldn't really be bragging about it. So back to the father, oldest son relationship. How you can be the black sheep is you can have problems. Maybe it's addictions, behavioral issues. And then those problems can lead you to see a therapist like myself. Little do these oldest sons know that their struggles, they're pushing back against their family, or they're trying to, I'm talking about the black sheep one, not the hero, them pushing back, they're causing you know, challenges their family, maybe even causing their family to go into therapy. It's as if the oldest son is like waving a red flag saying, hey, my family's not perfect. We could use some changes. We could use some improvement. They may not be the horrible family in the world, but it's my job as the oldest son to get my family the help and attention they need. And if they're not willing to get it on their own, unknowingly, by the way, just so you guys are clear, oldest sons aren't consciously doing this. It's their role, the family, to help the family. And if the family has some blind spots, has some issues they're not willing to address and deal with, then it is their role to expose those things to the world. And sometimes they got to expose them in not the best ways. So that's why eight usually, but sometimes nine out of the 10 young men I would see on any given month were struggling with something inside their life because they look like they're the black sheep. They look like they had a lot of issues, which they did. But it was this one thing, the father-oldest son relationship, that I had to put as a priority on our treatment plan. I had to put it as a priority in therapy. And a lot of times the dads didn't want to come in and be a part of it. A lot of times dads are like, no, my son's got these issues. Go and fix those. And those men that didn't really want to be a part of it, they all had one thing in common. They're scared of their oldest son exposing them for having their own issues. Now, sometimes it was the same issue. I don't want to lie to you guys. The majority of the time I saw an oldest son have a pornography issue, the dad also had some sort of sexual or pornography issue. I don't think that's a mistake. I don't think that's a coincidence. I think that in those cases, they had a lot of similar struggles with connecting with intimate relationships. So that's how the oldest son can be either the hero or the black sheep. Sometimes they go back and forth. They're trying to help their family. If that doesn't work, they're like, forget it. I'm just going to go run away, not do my homework, just kind of do whatever I got to do to just have fun. Whatever happens with the father-oldest son relationship, the oldest son kind of flip-flops back and forth between those two or plays one of them most of the time. So what can you do about this? Now that you know that this is a real thing, you can definitely first off go and start listening to my podcast, get more of a deeper dive on it, as I do share other ideas in this than the ones I'm gonna be sharing today. But today what I want to do is I wrote down four things that has worked for other dads that have really looked at their life and looked at their relationship with their son, and they said, this needs to be improved. Now, if you're a dad listening to this and you think, me and my son, we got a good enough relationship, but we're totally fine. Great. You may have a good enough relationship. Still do this anyways. This is not something that you have to do to have, you have to have a bad relationship to do with your kid. This is something you should just do to improve the relationship with your kid, because I've never met a dad that said he wants his sons to be just like them. In fact, they always say just the opposite. I want my sons to be better than me. I've never met a mom that says, hey, I want my son to be just like this idiot husband that I married. Even if you love your husband, you know he's an idiot in some ways. He's going to have some flaws, some issues. No, every mom wants their sons to be better than their dads, right? So here's the four things that I want you guys to take notes of. Now, each thing, some of these I have like, hey, here's one step. Here's one thing I want you to do. But then I add a little pro tip to it, meaning something that's going to make it more effective. If you follow this pro tip, it's going to help the suggestion just go a lot better. Okay. So the first one is for all you dads out there. And I'm not creating a scenario like you have done so many wrong things that you need to apologize to your son. A lot of dads I work with, when I tell them, hey, you need to apologize for your son, how you came at him last night because you said you're hard on him. Your son says you're hard on him. So you need to apologize. I put the dad in the room and see how the dad goes. Well, a lot of times dad would say something like this, like, hey, like, sorry, I was being mean and a jerk to you last night, but you realize why I get mad at you. It's because you do this and that and the other. And when you do that, just like, it's so infuriating. And they just go on this long tangent. Well, guess what the son didn't pick up after the dad said all this stuff? They didn't pick up on the apology. In fact, the apology is kind of like, wah, wah. Apology doesn't really seem too sincere. Apology seems a little bit more like something kids call nowadays and people talk about online nowadays called gaslighting. Being passive aggressive. People tell me it feels a lot more like that than an actual real apology. That's why, you guys, when you go to your sons, I want you to apologize with a couple things in mind. So first of all, apologize for being hard on your son at a specific time. So if you're just hard on your son, just apologize like this. Hey, son, I'm not going to make excuses. I'm just going to be straight up honest with you. I'm sorry for the way I got after you last night. Now, when you say that, you're going to want to be like, but you weren't listening and you want to use all these buts. Don't add any buts. Say, I'm sorry for whatever it was I did, my part on it, and put a period at the end of it. Okay? then after that, or the reason why you want to do that is because it could be like, some dads tend to stonewall. Some dads tend to like withdraw from kids. So maybe you're not being hard on your son in like you yelled at him way, but maybe your son came to you and wanted your opinion on something. You're like, well, you know how I feel about it. So you're just going to do what you want to do anyways. I don't know why you come asking me. Well, that might be what you need to apologize as well. So before I went further on this, I want to remind you guys that if you don't think that you're the type of dad that hard on your son, you're yelling at mean to him, you may think, well, I never hit him. I never yell at him. Well, maybe you're doing the opposite. You're not talking to him. You're dismissing him. You're not taking his thoughts, feelings, opinions, whatever he's doing. You're not taking it seriously. And you're not being like careful at how you approach him, because no one was careful how they approached you. No one chose their words wisely when you were growing up, right? Most dads listening to this will agree that you had it a lot harder than your kids, that people are a lot more sensitive and caring to your kids than they were to you. And you may even feel like your kids need to deserve some tough love. Great. They may need to deserve some tough love at times. However, tough love doesn't have to feel like it's personal. So in this, when you're apologizing, it's helping you express that you may have had disapproval of what your son did, the behaviors, maybe even your son's beliefs. And you may want to change those beliefs. Like you may want to influence your son. But if you don't apologize first and you don't let your son know that you had behavior that just wasn't even necessary, that maybe you're making it too personal, then your son's not going to really be able to be influenced by you. It's going to be really hard for your son to take you seriously if you're not acknowledging that, you know, you've got some things that you can improve upon too, because you're asking them to improve and want to be better and you want them to listen to you. Well, you should probably go first, okay? The pro tip to this one is make sure it's less than 2 minutes. When you dads out there go and say some sort of apology to your son, don't apologize and drag it on and on, because like I said in the very beginning, they're not going to really get the apology the longer you go on. So just make it less than 2 minutes. The other thing is your son may be caught off guard and not know how to respond. I've had a lot of dads say, hey, I went and did what you told me to do. I go, what happens? They're like, they didn't say anything. They just sat there and like, oh, okay, thanks, fine. And they just walked away. And I go, how'd you feel? It's like, I remember one daddy told me, he's like, I felt kind of frustrated. I'm like, dude, like, I'm trying to be cool. Like, I'm trying to let you know I'm sorry. And I'm trying to apologize. And I feel like you're punishing me for it. I tell you and all those dads have said something like that or felt like that. I tell them, hey, listen, at that particular moment, it's not about you. It's not about your son giving you the flowers that you deserve or saying, hey, dad, you know, I apologize. I shouldn't have done this. That can happen. But at this particular moment, you're being an example of the behavior that you would like them to show you. So if you want your son to hold himself accountable, if you want him to be a real man, as they say, then why don't you show him what a real man does? Any guy could flip someone off and cuss them out or be mean or be a jerk, or any guy could be passive aggressive, fun, and just walk away and not say anything. That's the easy thing to do. You know what's hard to do? It's hard to be a leader. And leaders always take the blame, or at least as much as blame that they can muster up to take accountability for, to show everybody that they want to follow them that this is what you do. This is what accountability actually looks like. Okay. Number two, confess that you know you tend to criticize him for his mistakes, or you judge him based off bad decisions. And then tell him you're going to work on that and that you'd appreciate it, that he actually points out to you if you are being overly judgmental or overly critical. If you notice, dads, and any moms that send this to dads, let's be very clear. I'm not telling you to not criticize your child or not to make judgments about their behavior and their things that they do. It's totally within your right, and it's your job to help your kids, so sometimes you got to be critical of them. I'm referring to being overly critical, overtly judgmental, pointing and poking constantly. That does not allow you to have influence over your kids. So tell your kid, hey, I know I tend to do that. I apologize, and I'm going to work on it. But instead of just working on it, could you actually help me with something as well? Your kids are going to be like, yeah, sure, what? Tell them. If I start to get in that where I've done in the past, maybe even using examples, say, you know how I tend to always say this or act like that? Your kids are going to be like, yeah, they know. Say, well, I'm going to work on that, but instead of just saying I'm going to work on it, I actually would like you to help me with it. They may say, okay, what do you mean? Say, here, could you help me with this? whenever I start to be a little too much, right? If your son gets done with the basketball game and the whole entire ride home is like, why'd you do this? Why'd you, oh my gosh, you need to do this. If you're over coaching, if you're over parenting, you want your son to be able to pull you aside. And this is what I want you to ask your son to do for you. Say, son, could you text me? Could you pull me aside when no one's around? Say, hey, dad, remember when we had that talk and you said to let you know if I'm feeling like you're being overly judgmental or overly critical? It's kind of happening right now. Like, I know it's frustrating for you because I'm not doing what you want me to do, but like, you already made your point. I get what you're saying. And can you just kind of just let me try to figure it out now? You want to give your kids an invitation to come to you and talk to you about those things. If you can't bend the knee to them and say, hey, listen, I can still learn as your parent. I just need you to give me better information, knowledge, because I'm going to be a better parent. I'm going to help support you better if I know what's going on. Then you're literally soliciting, saying, hey, talk to me. Tell me what I could improve upon. And then when they do that, say, thank you, I appreciate it, work on it. But when you go to give them criticism, when you go to give them some things that they could work on, they're going to be more inclined to listen to what you have to say because you listen to them first. Okay? So pro tip on that one, let your son know, like I said, to text you and to pull you aside. Do not do it in front of family or friends because every dad's got a little ego and they may get a little pissed off if you don't come in the right way. Number three, dads, you should all share personal experiences with your sons that was relevant to the time that they're in right now. So let's say you got a high schooler and let's say they're talking to you about like they're feeling really insecure because they're not really getting the girl that they want, or maybe they're dating someone that's not going really well. And maybe the girl gave him some criticism that made him feel really bad. Or maybe the coach criticized him that made him feel really bad. A lot of dads out there want to go straight into problem solving mode and fixing mode. The problem with that is that if you keep on trying to fix your kids' problems or try to give them advice to shortcut their process so that they can just do what you tell them to do and they don't have to figure it out by their own process, then annoying what you're doing is you're telling them to become more dependent upon you because they're not capable of making the right decisions. You're treating them as if they're broken. And everybody knows that old saying, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Well, if you're constantly trying to fix your son, yep, you guessed it. You're inadvertently, not realizing you're doing this, but you're telling him that, son, I think you're broken. So we don't want your sons to think that you think they're broken because they could make a mistake, they could be broken, but it doesn't mean they are broken. I think our society right now has enough young men that are victims. We don't need to create more victims. But then again, you don't want to act like they don't have feelings. So you don't want to stomp on their feelings and act like their feelings don't matter. But then on the other side of the spectrum, besides not acting like their feelings don't matter, you don't want to sit there and have like a 3-hour counseling session with them trying to keep them safe and secure because they're not little fragile bunny rabbits that are easily hurt and can get easily stepped on. You want them to see that they're anti-fragile, that they are resilient, that they actually get stronger when they go through hard things. So whatever hard things you went through at that particular time of your life, share those hard things with them. But here's the pro tip. Don't make it about you. Say, son, and I'll be honest with you, you may have thought I had it easy in high school, that I was a good athlete. Let's say it's a son that's complaining about a coach. Maybe the son's not starting and the dad was a good athlete. Dad could say, it may look like I had everything figured out, but I'll be honest with you, I really struggled. I had a hard time in this area. And share an experience about where you just weren't doing good. And then after you share that experience, shut up. Don't say anything more. Don't continue to add to it. Because too many dads will share like, oh man, I went through this, blah, blah, blah. So because I went through this, you know, you can go through it too. All you got to do is just do this, do that. No advice, no opinions. Just share like a parable, right? Like if anyone's ever read the Bible, it's like, Jesus talks about this thing. It's like, it's a story, right? When you tell someone a good story, you don't need to tell them the punchline. They get the point of the story, even your teenager. But it allows them to sit with it, allows them to think about it, allows them to take what you shared and allows them to digest it for themselves. Do not force feed it to them. Definitely let them know something you went through at that time, but don't tell them what the end result should be or what they should have to do right after you tell them that story, okay? Fourth one, don't share what your son should do or shouldn't do after you tell him that story. So piggyback off of what I just said, a lot of times dads will make the mistake of once they tell their kids a story, once they give them advice, and then after that, they come up with a plan for their son, say, okay, from now on, you're going to do this, you're going to do that, and make sure if you do these things, it's going to ruin your life. If you do these things, it's not going to ruin your life. You got it? Okay, good, go. Why don't you tell them the story? Just sit there and listen to them. Don't just go quickly to the solution. Like, they need to be in the whole entire thing for a little while. They need to sit with it. They might need to struggle a little bit better. I know us as parents and as dads, we want to shortcut our kids' experiences. We want to give them all the knowledge and information we didn't have at that age. Totally agree with that. Totally want you to do that. However, we have to realize that our clocks are ticking a lot faster because our life does not have as many sunsets and does not have as many summers left ahead of it. Let's face it. We're towards the back end of our life. They're in the beginning of their life. Right? You guys have all heard that saying, like, youth is wasted on the young. They don't even know how fast life is going to go. We could tell them, oh, you'll blink and you'll be graduating. You'll blink before you know it, and this can happen, that's going to happen. They'll go, yeah, yeah, anyways. Don't try to help them see the future today. Share your stories, share the information with them, but do not tell them what to do. Do not come up with a plan for them. Now, if they come to you and say, Dad, wow, I appreciate it. Could you help me? Because I really don't know where to even start. Even then, don't tell them what to do. Say, well, I'd be happy to help you, but I'm not going to tell you what to do, but I'll help you come up with some things that you could do. Let's start with what's worked with you in the past. What's worked in the past when you've gotten criticized or when you failed? Like, what did you do to get back on the horse and to be feeling better again? Start with those things. Help them come up with their own decisions. You may nudge and do a little gentle persuasion to consider certain things, but man, we all know the ideas seem so much more powerful when we think that there are ideas. So dads, get better at gentle persuasion, leading your kids to certain knowledge and information without actually telling them what to do. If you told your son what to do, and every single time you told him what to do, it worked out perfectly, he was super successful in all the aspects of life that you told him what to do, he'd be very successful, very thankful, and he'd have no self-confidence, not any real resiliency, and wouldn't feel like he's anti-fragile. Because how are you supposed to get confidence from just copying and pasting what someone else told you to do? Right? For those of you like myself out there, every now and then, go to the internet, you look for questions, go to ChatGPT, go to AI. We're always asking questions. We can get the information and we can shortcut it, but we didn't get the experience from figuring out that information on our own. Sometimes we get a hack and it helps. Other times we get a hack and we get a little too far ahead of ourselves. We get a little in front of our skis. Next thing you know, we're tumbling down the hill. So those are the four top things with some pro tips inside of there that I want all you fathers to do with your oldest sons. As I said before, you could do this with any of your sons. You could do this with any of your kids. But for that oldest son relationship, it is more important because there will never be another person in the family that understands you or has the potential to understand you as much as your oldest son. You and your wife, you and your girlfriend, you and your partner, whoever it may have the best relationship in the world. And your partner at that particular time is not your own blood, is not someone that actually is your same gender, is someone that they could actually relate to you and can understand your hurt, your pain, your struggles, your hopes, and your dreams. So as always, you guys, thank you for listening to us here on OG Therapy Podcast. You can follow me on Instagram at David_KOZLOWSKI. You can follow us on OG Therapy. On Instagram, it's OG.Therapy. On YouTube, we're at OG Therapy. TikTok, we're at OG Therapy Podcast. And I got a little teaser for you coming up next week. We're going to be doing a little something different with the podcast. And the teaser for you is I saw a video about a father and an oldest son. And this oldest son just happens to be a very famous oldest son. His dad was a celebrity too, but nowhere near as big as a celebrity as he is. The guy I'm talking about is The Rock. Last night I watched a video on The Rock talking about the death of his oldest dad and a very unfortunate thing that happened. I'm going to dive a little bit deeper to analyze their relationship. And even though I don't know The Rock personally, I'm pretty sure I could have some lucky guesses and some hunches on helping The Rock understand his dad's relationship. And even though The Rock's probably never going to hear it, it'll definitely help you to understand the relationship with your sons better and what not to do to help you have a better relationship with them so you can have a better and more fortified family. Until next time, you guys, just remember, when in doubt, and you're doubting yourself. You don't know what to do. You're stressed out. And you're saying, oh, please, Lord, baby, Jesus, Buddha, Allah, please. And you're down on your knees saying, what do I do to help my oldest son not be like me and be better than me? Well, you can pray and you can do all those things, but you can also press play and listen to your OGs. Until next time, be cool.
Mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price. This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax Live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.